Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
The world's preeminent talk radio portal.
All about your health.
And now here's Melanie Cole, MS, host of Staying Well.
Have you ever heard of counterfeit food? It might be more widespread than you think. And one of the biggest food safety issues right now involves the deliberate adulteration of food. Economically Motivated Adulteration, EMA. And we're talking to Sean Kennedy. He's the director of the National Center for Food Protection and Defense at the University of Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Sean. Talk about counterfeit food or food fraud. Is this really going on?
It is really going on, and it's been going on for a very long time. Some of our very first food safety laws going back to Egypt were because of fake food. It happens now across all sorts of foods, and it happens in all countries. Estimates are that we have $10 to $15 billion a year lost because of EMA each year, and that up to 10% of food on retail shelves is not as labeled.
Wow. So, you know, if people are wondering what is really going on, and, I mean, you say it's more common than people realize, are we seeing... To kind of recognize this, are we seeing illnesses from this kind of adulteration? Are we seeing it in infant formula, in adult food? Where are we seeing it, and how do we know?
Well, we're never sure exactly everything that's adulterated because they're trying to hide it from us. So they try and make sure you don't catch it. But we have seen illnesses. We've had salmonella outbreaks associated with fake food, counterfeit food, or EMA. There have even been cases such as a famous infamous case in Spain where you had several hundred people die as a result of fake food. So it can cause harm. It usually doesn't because they're trying to make a profit. They don't want to cause harm, and killing your customer kind of cuts down on repeat business.
Now, are there certain foods or food categories where we might see it more often? I mean, in the alcohol industry or in, you know, dairy products? Certainly, I would think that things like that are geared towards junk food might be a real good place to bulk up, build volume, shove stuff in there without people bothering to look at the labels, or even maybe the labeling isn't what, you know, quite telling us the truth.
Well, what really presents itself as an opportunity for economically motivated adulteration is that you're paying for an attribute of the food that is not generally measured for. So as an example, a recent problem, which is associated with fruit juices, we've had trouble with fruit juices for many years, is with pomegranate juice. Because what you're buying is a promise of a health benefit. And most consumers can't tell if it's really pomegranate juice or if it's 100% pomegranate juice. So there's been product that's not as labeled, so not as much pomegranate juice as it says it is. In some cases, it's not pomegranate juice at all. So you're looking for things that have a value beyond that, which is tied to performance the consumer or the company can see.
Well, okay, so if you're the average consumer and you're going to, you know, Palm Wonderful or one of these pomegranate juice things, do we now start being skeptical of the labels, or do we believe that, you know, that they're government regulated and that these labels are telling us? Because I'm a big advocate of reading labels. I tell my patients to read labels, especially my heart patients. Make sure you look at the label to see what's in there. You know, sodium is hidden, all these things. If people are reading labels, are they really getting what they think they're getting?
Most of the time they are getting what they think they're getting, but unfortunately there's a fair amount of time when they're not. And there are two simple things that consumers can pay attention to help protect themselves. The first is try and target products that are from companies who you know and trust. So if you're going to the grocery store and you see Palm Wonderful, who has successfully sued competitors for economically motivated adulteration, you're going to trust that brand more than a brand you've never heard of. And the second is that the price does matter. So if something is far too cheap to be, the price is too good to be true, it probably is.
Okay, now that's something that, you know, I have heard before, that, you know, you're certainly getting what you paid for. And if you're paying for balsamic vinegar, and it's aged and it's 100% pure, there's no sugar added, that sort of thing, you're going to pay a pretty penny for it. But some of the cheaper ones have sugar to make them sweeter. They weren't aged, or something along those lines.
Very much so. And we see that a lot with olive oil, where olive oil, people believe they're buying extra virgin olive oil. In many cases, it's not extra virgin olive oil. A study by UC Davis, up to 2/3 of the olive oil was not as labeled. And it's, in that case, it's not, usually it's not a different type of oil. It's just it's not extra virgin. It's chemically refined olive oil. And it's always cheaper than the true extra virgin olive oil.
So now, you know, we've been hearing that things are added to bulk up the volume. And so people have come up with these gluten sensitivities because now they're shoving gluten in things that you wouldn't even imagine. Soy sauce, ketchup, all of these kinds of things. So is that also what we're talking about, is bulking things up? Or no, not so much. It's more ingredients that are not listed or intended to sweeten or do something else to the product.
The majority of it is substituting an inferior ingredient for a more costly ingredient. There are cases of bulking up. There was a recent case in China where they were actually adding caustic soda to flour to bulk it up because it weighed more. So it does happen, but it's usually substitution, or they're adding a minor ingredient that will change the weight enough for them to make a profit, basically by dilution. See, when infant formula is taken from the gray market and put back into the marketplace, often it's diluted. So you're bulking it up in that way. So they're adding some other powder to it that's cheaper than the infant formula.
Wow, and certainly with infant formula, that's a really scary prospect. So, what, you know, when you're telling people about this, and people kind of have that jaw down going, really, I didn't realize that that was happening. What can we do about it as consumers?
Well, it goes back again to try to identify brands that you can trust, companies you can trust, those that you know and can identify. Pay attention to labels. Often the way in which the FDA catches economically motivated adulteration is that the labels aren't right. So if you make sure the label says what it's supposed to say, look at the ingredient list for ingredients that, if there are any ingredients there that you don't understand why they would be in the product. If you don't understand why they're there, they're probably not there for the performance that you're expecting from the product. And then again, pay attention to the price. If it's far too cheap, it's probably not real.
Well, and that sort of goes back to that whole junk food, even cereals by the bulk in the bags, and just, you know, stuff is so cheap that you're like, wow, how can they sell it this cheap? Now, my question to you, Sean, is also when people shop at these off-brand markets, like even Asian markets or, you know, Mexican food stores, you find stuff that at Jewel would be, you know, like a bag of rice, would be one price, and it's another price at one of these small, you know, maybe ethnic stores. Is there something going on sometimes in those? Because they don't even always have labels on them.
The most common problem you see there is that in those the small or mom-pa type stores or ethnic stores, is the product is past its shelf life, and that's why they were able to get it cheaply. So you want to make sure you're paying close attention to the expiration date on the product. And if it's past its shelf life, that's why it's so cheap.
Wow, so there may be many different reasons. In the last 30 seconds, Sean Kennedy, director of the National Center for Food Protection and Defense at the University of Minnesota, please wrap up food fraud for us and EMA and the costs to the food industry and consumers.
So as a consumer, you're subject to EMA or food fraud every day. The industry is losing $10 to $15 billion a year because of it. And about 10% of the product you see on the retail shelf isn't what you think it is, at least at some level. So we need to continue to be vigilant as consumers and as participants in the food system.
So we need to be vigilant, look at labels, you know, look at the cost that you're spending on something. And if it's too cheap to be true, it might just be something like we're talking about. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. It's your Radio MD. And stay well.